नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय From Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 28, Ranjana becomes a woman in the next life. Text 14 and 15. First, I'll read text 14, which is a short purport, and then we'll do 15. Nasheke so vitum tatra puru krishto ruvepatuhu gantu maichatato vriksha kotara rivasanalat. As a serpent living within the cavity of a tree wishes to leave when there is a forest fire, so the city's police superintendent, the snake, wished to leave the city due to the fire's severe heat. Purport: It becomes very difficult for snakes to leave a forest when there is a fire. Other animals may flee due to their long legs, but serpents, only being able to crawl, are generally burnt in the fire. At the last stage, the limbs of the body are not as much affected as the life air. Text number 15. Shitalavayavo Yahi Kandavai Harita Porushaha Yavanai Aribi Rajan Uparudho Uroda Ha Shittilavayavo Yahi Kandavairita Porushaha Yavanairaribirajan Uparudhorurodaha Shittilavayavo Yahi Gandavairitapurushaha Yavanairaribirajan Uparudhorurodaha
Shitilavayavo Yahi Gandavairitapurushaha
avayavaha, his limbs, yahi, when, gandhavai, by the Gandhavas, Rita, defeated, Purushaha, his bodily strength, Yavanai, by the Yavanas, Adibihi, by the enemies, Rajan, O King Prachini Bahisha, Uparudha, being checked, Rurudho, Rurudha, cried loudly, Ha, indeed. Translation, the limbs of the serpent's body were slackened by the Gandhavas and Yavana soldiers, who had thoroughly defeated his bodily strength. When he attempted to leave the body, he was checked by his enemies. Being thus baffled in his attempt, he began to cry loudly. Purport. At the last stage of life, the different gates of the body are choked by the effects of disease, which are caused by an imbalance of bile, mucus, and air. Thus, the living entity cannot clearly express his difficulties, and surrounding relatives hear the sound Guda Guda from a dying man. In his Mukunda Mala Stotra, King Kulashekara states, Krishna Tvadiya Parapankaja Panjarantam Adyaiva Me Vishato Manasara Jahangsa Prana Prayana Samaye Kapava Tapitai Kantavaro Danaviro Smaranam Kutaste. My dear Krishna, please help me die immediately, so that the swan of my mind may be encircled by the stem of your lotus feet. Otherwise, at the time of my final breath, when my throat is choked up, how will it be possible for me to think of you? The swan takes great pleasure in diving within water and being encircled by the stem of the lotus flower. This entanglement is sporting joy. If in our healthy condition, we think of the lotus feet of the Lord and die, it is most fortunate. In old age, at the time of death, the throat sometimes becomes choked with mucus or blocked by air. At such a time, the sound vibration of Hare Krishna, the Maha Mantra, may not come out. Thus, one may forget Krishna. Of course, those who are strong in Krishna consciousness cannot possibly forget Krishna at any stage, because they are accustomed to chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, especially when there is a signal from death. Om Agnanam Timirandasya Gnanjana Shalakaya Chakshun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Svaparantikam Nama Shrishta Manumapi Sachi Putra Matrasa Rupam Rupam Tasya Grajam Uru Purim Maturim Gostavritim Radha Kunda Girivara Mahodadika Madhavasam Praptaya Sapatita Sri Kripaya Sri Gurum Tam Mutosmi Ashita Lava Yavo Yahi Gandavai Ritapodushaha Yavanai Rarbi Adivira Jan Aparudo Rudodaha. The limbs of the serpent's body were slackened by the Gandhavas and Yavana soldiers, who had thoroughly defeated his bodily strength. When he attempted to leave the body, he was checked by his enemies. Being thus baffled in his attempt, he began to cry loudly. Recently, we were listening to a lecture by Srila Prabhupada, and he was invited to lecture at the to some organization in Kolkata in 1973. And he welcomed the guest and thanked them for his invitation. And his title for the many of the lectures that Prabhupada was giving at this time of in 1973, he had titles for his lectures. So the devotees would give him a list of titles and Prabhupada would choose a title. And so the title for the lecture was East and West. Actually, it was at the Indo-American Society in Calcutta. So the title was called East and West. And Prabhupada thanked them for inviting him to speak to them. And in a very humble way, he said he will speak as much as he can about this topic. And he said he feels qualified to speak on this topic because every year now he's traveling two or three times he's traveling around the world throughout Western countries and Eastern and Western countries. And he started to explain in his presentation, a very wonderful presentation, that basically there's no distinction between East and West. He said in the East, it's the same sun in the East, the same sunrise, the same sunset. In the East, the same in the West. You have the same sun. He was going through different things that were the same in the East. In fact, even he didn't break down culturally into dress and food and lifestyle, etc. He said same things are happening in the East. People are eating and people are eating in the West. And people are sleeping and people are sleeping in the West. So he went through this. He didn't get into any cultural differences that we might think. And then he said the actual difference between East and West is that in the East, and particularly he means India, not the Far East, not China or Saigon or somewhere like this, but he's talking about India. He says people in India, they understand the eternal nature of the soul. They understand the concept of karma and reincarnation. But in the West, there's no understanding. There's no understanding of this knowledge. And he quoted Professor Kotovsky, one very learned professor in the university in Moscow. He said to him, Swamiji, at the time of death, when the soul leaves the body, that's it. He didn't say when the soul leaves the body, but after death, there's no existence. And Prabhupada took this comment of Professor Kotovsky and he referred to it many, many times in his presentations around the world with philosophers and devotees and theologians, etc. Because he considered this to be the epitome. He considered this to be the ultimate kind of understanding, a common core understanding or a mindset, a paradigm of Western thought, that the material body is the all in all, and there's no consideration for life after death. Here in the Srimad Bhagavatam, mostly we hear this presentation is about eternal life. Not mostly, it's about eternal life, the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's about our eternal constitutional position of the spirit soul, and how, due to different circumstances and situations, the spirit soul takes on different forms according to desire and according to association, and different forms or degrees of forgetfulness of Krishna, different forms or degrees of forgetfulness of our eternal constitutional position as a servant of God. And the Bhagavatam is teaching us, is a reminder, in 18,000 shlokas of reminder that we're a spirit soul. It's a wake up. And it's a call to action. You're a spirit soul and you have an eternal constitutional position as a servant of the Lord. And therefore, we have to act in that position to become happy, to become satisfied, and to achieve our eternal destination, which is the spiritual world, to go home, back home to Godhead. That is what's being presented to us by Śrīla Prabhupāda in the Śrīmad Bhāgavatam. Śrīla Prabhupāda said on many occasions that the devotees understand, because we understand the eternal nature of the soul, we understand how to live and we understand how to die. We understand how to deal with the soul or with the body at the time of death, with both, we understand. And this understanding is a profound contribution, a profound understanding that each one of us have. every devotee in this room, every devotee who's come in contact with this sublime philosophy of the eternal nature of the soul and our constitutional position as a servant of Krishna, has the capacity to be successful. We have the potential to fully realize our constitutional wealth as a spirit soul, and to provide assistance for those who are leaving their bodies and for those who are still in their bodies and think they're never going to leave their bodies. We have that capacity as servants of the Lord and as devotees who have come in contact with Srila Prabhupada's mission to give this knowledge in a very, very powerful way. Recently, one devotee left his body here in Mayapur. A Prabhupada disciple left his body here, and he was surrounded by many devotees chanting the holy name of the Lord with tulsi on his tongue, with the mala, the garland of the deities in the holy dham, surrounded by many, left his body in many auspicious symptoms, surrounded by many auspicious vibrations and well wishes and very glorious death, a very glorious way to live for this spirit soul, the subtle energy of the body to live. Like here, we're hearing how it's very difficult. At the time of death, we may not be able to remember, but by the association of the devotees, we're reminded of this. So today we're going to have a look at some of the examples that Prabhupada has given to us from the scriptures, particularly from the Bhagavatam, or a conversation between Lord Chaitanya and Haridas Thakur from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And he's talking, Lord Chaitanya, Haridas Thakur is going to relieve the anxiety of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Prabhupada said this is the mission of the devotees, to relieve the Lord's anxiety, to relieve the spiritual master of his anxiety. So Lord Chaitanya approached Haridas Thakur, and in great anxiety, he asked Haridas Thakur, how will the conditioned souls, the bewildered materialistic living entities, how will they achieve perfection? How will they be successful in this human form of life? And Haridas Thakur, and Lord Chaitanya was visibly in anxiety. He was distressed at the pitiful condition of the conditioned living entities in the material world. And this is a quality of the sadhu. The sages who assembled in Naimisharanya, they had the same concern for the conditioned living entities. The sages assembled in Naimisharanya to discuss how we could benefit the conditioned living entities. What is the best process for the living entities to engage in to help them to become happy, to help them to become free from misery, and to help them to achieve the supreme destination. That's why they assembled there. And that's why Shanaka Rishi is asking Supa Goswami questions. And he asks, what is the most important thing to do at the time of death? Someone, Pariksit Maharaj, the whole conversation between Pariksit Maharaj and Sukadeva Goswami is an answer to that question. The most important thing to do at the time of death. What are we going to do when the superintendent is trying to leave the body of nine gates? How will we be successful in that process of transferring to our next body? And Srimad Bhagavatam is the answer to that question. You know, he says that that one should hear Shrotavya Kirtitavyascha Snatta Tyavs Chichata Bhayam, that the duty of one who is about to leave his body is to hear about the glorious pastimes and activities of the Lord, to chant those activities and to remember them, smaram, smartatas, chichatapayam, and to become free from fear, because it's a very fearful condition. We're going to leave our bodies, it's extremely fearful. But if we absorb ourselves in this sound vibration of the holy name, we become successful. Perhaps many of you have been with somebody who's leaving their body, or you will be with somebody who's about to leave their body. And for the devotees, we have... it's very natural for us to resort to chanting the holy name of the Lord. Sometimes you might go into a room where there's somebody about to leave their body and many of the relatives are present and different people are there and everybody's bewildered. Either they're crying or they're very silent. Slowly, slowly, everybody's looking at each other. What to do? What's going to happen next? Well, we know what's going to happen next. The soul's going to leave the body. So what's the best thing to do if the soul's going to leave the body? It's not just to sit around and look at each other and think, what's going to happen next? It's time to chant Hare Krishna. It's time to chant from Srimad Bhagavatam. It's time to provide the jiva who's about to leave this body in this situation an opportunity to hear the vibration at the time of death. One of the, in Auckland, where we've been preaching for, where we've been living for the last 12 years or so, one of the first Namahat devotees, he left his body a few years ago. And he was a life member Namahat. He started Namahat in Auckland. He started in New Zealand. He was one of the first Namahat devotees. So as he was leaving his body, he wrote his will. And in the will, he said so many things about how he wants to his body to be dealt with and what happens after death, etc. But he had very specific, he was from a Brahmin family. He was from Fiji, but he was from a Brahmin family originally in India. And he gave very specific instructions on what to do. And particularly he said, we didn't know this, we were just called down to his house because he was leaving his body, so he went to his house in South Auckland. And we went down there and the relatives were there, it was completely, everybody was sitting around bewildered and stony silence and what to do. And we turned up with harmonium and mridanga and kartal and bhagavatam and tulsi and garland. And we came with the whole paraphernalia. You know, we're here on a mission to get this soul back to Godhead. And so a whole team of us, you know, like the special squad came in. And we got straight to the body and we got to work. We had Giriraj with us. We had everything with us that he possibly needed to get him out of this condition and back to Godhead. So we started a really nice kirtan. Sri Padi Prabhu starts doing a very mellow kirtan, Hare Krishna kirtan. And I started to recite from the Bhagavad Gita, just reading the verses from the Gita. And devotees were holding, my wife had the Giriraj Shila, and she was holding the Shila on Mr. Prabhu's head. He's just about to leave his body. And old Madri Mataji is one of the first devotees, very important devotees in Auckland, and she was holding his hand and she was screaming Hare Krishna in his ear, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, like this really intense, and all the relatives are looking at us, you know, what are these guys doing, you know, who are these guys anyway, and we're all doing kirtan and reciting scriptures and Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, and Govardhan Shila on his head and garlands and ready for the tulsi leaf and like this. So as a whole procedure was going on there. And it went for some time, and we recited like 15 chapters. We got up to chapter 15. We just finished the 15th chapter, and he left his body. And we had nice kirtan. And the family weren't, you know, they didn't really want us to be there, particularly his immediate family. His sons, they were very inimical toward Krishna. They didn't like devotees, they hated devotees. And so we had to be really kind of, we went in there very subtle, but we ended up, you know, taking over because we heard that he wrote a will, and they read us the will. The wife read us what he wanted to do at the time of death. And it said he didn't want any meat-eating Brahmins, that was his family members who were fallen from their Brahminical culture. He didn't want any Brahmins who weren't following the four regular principles to touch his body. That means these four brothers couldn't touch his body. They had to stand back. And he wanted only ISKCON priests to touch his body, to be there at the time of his death. And he wanted to leave his body hearing the recitation of the Bhagavad Gita and kirtan of his dear friend Sri Padi Prabhu. And so in this way we got the instruction that what we were doing was his last wishes. And then he went on to say that he didn't want to have the whole pinda ceremony like the traditional Hindu ceremony. He wanted a 3-day ceremony and it would be all over and done with, exactly how Srila Prabhupada had described for his shraddha, for his antyeshti, for his final samskara. So in this way, devotees have been able to, because of Srila Prabhupada's very clear explanation and descriptions and advice, have been able to support many, many devotees, many, many souls, spirit souls, leave this world in a successful way. and to achieve a better destination, whatever, wherever that destination is, but to become elevated on the in the process. Anyway, Lord Chaitanya, he's in distress, he's in anxiety. How are these conditioned living entities going to be successful? How will they be successful at the time of death? If now they're so absorbed in materialism. At the beginning of the Chaitanya Bhagavad, it says that Advaita Acharya's concern, his distress was caused by the materialistic mentality of the conditioned souls, particularly of the residents of Nadia. He said they were so much prone to criticism that if they couldn't criticize somebody, if they couldn't put somebody down, they wouldn't speak at all. That's what it says in the beginning of the Chaitanya Bhagavad. If they couldn't criticize somebody, then better not to speak. So Advaita Acharya is thinking this is such a miserable, miserly mentality of envy and hate and conflict that what to do with these living entities. So Lord Chaitanya asked Haridas Thakur, he said, don't be disturbed. Even when these Muslim hunters, Damstri Damstra Hato, when they're about to leave their body, Mlechas, Damstri Damstra Hato Mlecha, Harama, Harama, Punapunaha, Harameti Punapunaha. When they're about to leave their body, they recite Harama, Harama. When they leave their body, they get liberation. Mukti apnoti, uktvapi, mukti mapnoti. They get liberation. A Muslim hunter, a malecha, yavana, who leaves his body and calls out the name of Ram, gets liberated. What to speak? He says, what to speak of those who just chant the holy name of the Lord with faith throughout their whole lives? What to speak of them? They'll definitely get liberation. So Haridas Thakur explained to Lord Chaitanya the potency, or his highlighting for Lord Chaitanya, for all of us, the potency of the holy name in Namabhas. Even if we chant in Namabhas, we can achieve liberation. Maybe we don't go back home, back to Godhead, but we can achieve a higher destination by chanting or by giving somebody the holy name when they're about to leave their body. Harama. You can imagine a hunter. He's leaving his body and he's saying, oh, this is terrible, this is horrible, abominable. He's saying, like this prophet said, Harama means abominable, this is terrible. What's happening to me? I'm about to leave my body, but he gets liberation. So what to speak of those who, with faith, Shraddhaya Grinan, who take the holy name with faith and chant throughout their lives. They must be successful. This Namabhas is something which is that Haridas Thakur, he promotes very, very consistently. And many people don't accept it, that this, the potency of the holy name. And that we've got many, we have personally many experiences of the potency of the holy name and the experience that people can have of chanting the holy name. In Auckland, if you travel south out of the Auckland city, the first township you come to is a township called Rama Rama. And this township has a huge billboard. You know, maybe not here in West Bengal, but in other states of India and in many other countries, if you're traveling down a motorway or an autobahn or some kind of big highway, there are many signs to say what town's coming up next, what turn to take, etc. So this billboard is the size of this whole wall behind me, and it says Rama Rama. It's huge letters, Rama Rama. And millions of people, it's the only way in and out of the city, so every day millions of people see this Rama Rama. Everybody's chanting Rama Rama on their way to work, on their way home from work, Rama Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Rama. They're chanting Namabhas. It's just the name of a town. Imagine living there. Every day you're writing your address, Rama Rama. I think in South Island they've told me there's a place called Krishna, Krishna Krishna. And there's these are Maori words. Rama means, it's got a different name, a different meaning, but it's definitely potent, very powerful for them. And anybody who chants it achieves benefit from that. Everybody who chants Rama Rama. We had a very amazing experience of Namabhas chanting at the end of the year before. One famous athlete, a famous sports hero in Auckland, in New Zealand, You might know New Zealand's famous for football, for a sport called rugby. And there was a famous athlete in that sport called Mark Ellis. Anyway, he's very famous in New Zealand, but not very other places. Famous in New Zealand. And he had to do a show. He had to make a show on different types of organizations or religions or cults or whatever. It's called How the Other Half Live. It was a social community service he had to do because he got involved in some misdemeanors, and he went to court and they said, all right, you have to make this program to help people to see how other people live. So he came to the Hare Krishna temple. He said, okay, I want to do the Hare Krishnas. And he went to the Hare Krishna temple, this Mark Ellis, and he comes on a Friday afternoon, and Nanda Gopa is there waiting with the buzzer, and he shaves him up. Like, he's a famous, you know, personality. So he gets shaved up, and the camera crew come with him, and the camera crew have got Mark Ellis getting shaved up. Seeker, leaves the seeker at the back. And then he puts tilak, and he puts on a dhoti and chada. And then it's Friday afternoon, so downtown for Harinam. So he goes downtown for Harinam with all the devotees. You know, Mark Ellis, right? Big, strong football player. And he's downtown, he's got his cartels, he's leading the kirtan with Kalas out the front, he's chanting Hare Krishna, he's distributing books, right? He has to do everything. He wants to experience what he's doing. So he's distributing books to people on the street, downtown in Auckland and Queen Street, chanting Hare Krishna. He comes back to the temple, Friday evening feast, pizza and chips and ice cream and everything, sits down and he's woofing into prasadam, and the camera's right on him, you know, he's eating and, you know, enjoying the prasadam. Then he goes to sleep, and the camera's down there. He stays in one of the units at the farm. We have these apartments. They're not very, you know, well presented. They're pretty basic accommodation. A little bit above from the Goronga Kutia, you can say. Just one level up. So he stays in this Goronga Kutia on the farm, and the cameramen are down there, you know, watching him. Wake up in the morning at 4 o'clock, hits the alarm clock, he goes, takes bath, puts on his dhoti, puts on tilak, and he comes up to the temple, the Radhagiri Tara temple. We have a very beautiful temple there. So he comes up to the temple, Mangalati, Samsara Dhavana, goes to the cameramen are there, doing Mangalati, and Tulsi Puja, he circumambulates Tulsi, waters Tulsi Devi, offers obeisances to Tulsi Devi. And he does the whole thing, does the whole morning program, this big athlete, this biggest footballer. And he put it together as a show. He went to the school, the Hare Krishna school is behind the temple. He goes to the school. And in the school, he sat with the boys and the girls. He sat down and they were doing bhajan, kirtan. And so they were singing Gurudev, bhajan. And he said, what is this bhajan? And so one of the boys got the songbook and he was reading the songbook, Gurudev. Kripa Bindu Dia. He was reading, as I was singing, he was singing the same bhajan, Gurudev. And then afterwards, he really liked the bhajan. The boys were very enthusiastic with kirtan and mridanga and harmonium, cartels. And so he said, all right then. He's got the cameras in there, filming the whole thing. He says, what does that mean? What's the meaning? Explain the meaning of this bhajan, Gurudev. So one of the boys gets up and explains the meaning of Gurudev to him in front of the camera, you know, explains what it means, how we need the drop of mercy from the spiritual master to be successful in life. And so then he goes and plays with them, and he put it together as a show, and it's become one of the most watched. He had six in the series, and it's been the most repeated in the series in history. They keep putting on. It's called How the Other Half Live. You can see it on YouTube, I'm sure. How the Other Half Live. And it's by Mark Ellis, and you can see him just become he becomes a devotee for, you know, 48 hours. Namabas devotee. He doesn't criticize anybody. He loves the devotees. He thinks they're all really cool people. He's a pure Namabasi, right? And he promoted it for millions of people. Millions of people have seen the Hare Krishna temple, heard the holy name, seen the devotees wake up, been to Mangalati, been to Tulsi Puja, been to Bhagavatam class, the whole thing. He promoted us for free. That would cost millions of dollars to do that promotion. And not only for that, but to get all those people to watch the show. So, Namabas, the potency of Srila Prabhupada's process is inconceivable. sometimes we wonder. Janani Vaspagu was in, during the Holy Name Week, he was contemplating. He asked that question, how is it that Prithiviti Yacharari Nagarari Gram, in every town and village in the world, the Holy Name will be heard? How is it? And he was thinking, well, maybe it's this or maybe it's that. But we can't even conceive how in every town and village in the world the Holy Name will be heard and chanted. We can't even conceive of it, because it's beyond our... We just have to chant the Holy Name of the Lord and take shelter of the process, and Krishna or Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will take care of the rest. We don't have to do so much planning and organization in that terms, because it has its own potency. The Holy Name has its own potency. The Supreme Personality of Godhead can appear and disappear at his will. So Haridas Thakur convinced Lord Chaitanya that this is a powerful process, this Namabhas. And then he quoted Ajamil. And Ajamil is a very important lesson for all of us. And Srila Prabhupada has given so many wonderful and very deep insights into the potency of chanting the Holy Name of the Lord. This Ajamil pastime, Mriya Mano Hare Nama, it says that this Ajamil, he took the name, Grinam Putro Pacharikam. He took the name of Narayan to chant his son, Putra. Putra Upacharakam. He didn't chant the name of Krishna directly. He, at the time when he was dying, at the time of death, he took Harinam to chant his son's name. And he was liberated. Even Ajamil, he was liberated. So what to speak again, it says there. Kim Muta Shadayoginam. What to speak of those who take the holy name with faith. And here Srila Prabhupada is saying at the end of the purport that those who are strong in Krishna consciousness cannot possibly forget Krishna. We may be choked up, we may be full of mucus and bile and air, we may be in a very difficult situation at the time of death, but Prabhupada is saying, if we're strong in Krishna consciousness, kimuta shradhayo grinam, who take the holy name with faith, we cannot possibly forget Krishna at any stage. Because they are accustomed to chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, especially when there is a signal of death. So Ajamil, he wasn't accustomed. But by some good fortune, and Prabhupada explains that the super soul inspired Ajamil to name his son Narayan. When his son was born, the super soul, Krishna living in the heart, inspired him to give your son the name Narayana, four-syllable name of the Lord. And he did, and he was successful. We know the conversation between the Vishnu Dutas and the Yama Dutas is a very interesting and very revealing discussion or dialogue about the potency of Namabhas, about the potency of the holy name of the Lord, and the potency of the process of Krishna consciousness. And here in one purport, Srila Prabhupada says that the reason why the holy name is so powerful, the reason why Harikatha is such a powerful process, is because it removes the desire to commit sin. It doesn't just remove sin. It doesn't just remove sinful reaction. There are many processes that can remove sinful reaction. There are many scriptures that can remove sinful reaction. Prabhupada says there are many, many Dharma Shastras. 20, he said. 20 Dharma Shastras, beginning with Manu Samhita and Parashara Samhita. He says, these samhitas, if one follows the principles of these Dharma Shastras, we can become free from the reactions of our sinful activities, no doubt. But we can't become free from the desire to commit sinful activity. Only the Holy Name can do that. Only the Srimad Bhagavatam removes the desire to commit sinful activity. Rupa Goswami explains this in the Nectar Devotion, in the cycle of papa, in the cycle of sin. He says that there is the bija, the seed of the sin, and kutta, or the inclination to commit the sin. And it's the bija and the kutta that are burnt by the practice or the process of pure devotional service. By performance of bhakti, the desire to commit future sinful activities is burnt. It's crushed, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in very, very graphic language. That by the process of anatta nivritti, the material desires in the heart are completely crushed by the process of bhakti. So bhakti is awarded to the devotees who chant the holy name of the Lord. And we hear from the Srimad Bhagavatam the pastimes and activities of the Lord. Srimvatam sva katha krishna punya shravana kirtana vidyantasto yabhadrani vidunoti suritsatam. Vidunoti means it's completely cleansed. The heart is cleansed of abhadrani, of the desire to commit sin, the desire to perform in a negative way. That's cleansed from the devotee who has accepted to hear the glories and pastimes and activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is glorified as Uttama Shloka. So this is the potency of the holy name. This is the glorification of hearing the holy name. The Prabhupada says when we chant the holy name of the Lord, we get access to Krishna. Krishna and the holy name are non-different. To Krishna, his pastimes, his form, his activities, his qualities. Everything is revealed through the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. And this is what makes a devotee strong, by chanting the holy name of the Lord and hearing Krishna Katha. That will make us successful during this life and at the end of this life, and ensure us of a successful transmigration to the next birth. And I just wanted to finish up with a petition to the Supreme Lord given in the Ishopanishad. At the end of the Ishopanishad, there's a prayer. And in the prayer, the devotee is saying to the Supreme Lord, he says, Om Krato Smritam, Smarta. Om Krato Smarta, Kritam Smarta. Krato Smarta, Kritam Smarta. Please, my dear Lord, remember all the yagya that I've done, all the sacrifices that I've performed, remember them. Smara, remember them. Krato smara, kritam smara. Remember all of the activities, the sacrifices and the service that I've performed, remember them, remember them, remember them. Krato smara, kritam smara, krato smara, kritam smara. This is one of the final prayers that we offer at the Antyashti, in the samskara. That please, dear Lord, remember all the good deeds that we've done. So Prabhupada says here, he quotes Bhaktivinoda Thakur's explanation of this verse in the Ishopanishad. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that even if a devotee is considered to be the most abominable, apichet sudaracharo, even if a devotee is considered to be fallen, if he's properly situated in process of devotional service, is to be considered on the right path, is to be considered saintly. What to speak of others? And he says, declare it boldly to Arjuna, Name Bhakta Paranashati, my devotees, they will never perish. Whoever takes shelter of me, be they a woman or a Vaishya or a Sudra, anybody, whoever takes shelter of me will achieve the supreme destination. He says, there's no doubt. What to speak of those who take shelter of me? What to speak of the brahmanas and the kings, the great saintly kings and the devotees? They will definitely come back to me. And therefore, having come here into this material world, anityam asukam lokam, having come here to this temporary, miserable material world, imam prapya vajashvanam, engage in devotional service, become my... Think of me, absorb your mind in me, become my devotee, offer obeisances to me, worship me. And in this way, surely you will come to me. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he presents this summary of this section of the Ishopanishad, that we want to be successful at the time of death. We want to transfer to the spiritual world. Then we have to become strong at the time of life. We have to engage in positive activities that will burn to ashes the seed, burn to ashes the desire and the seed of our sinful activities, and that will force us to perform activities that are shravana punya, punya shravana kirtana, that are all auspicious, activities that will give Krishna, activities that will ensure that we're successful for the ultimate test at the time of death, to remember Krishna, smarata vyas chechata bhayam, and to become completely fear and fixed at the lotus feet of the Lord. Are there any questions or comments? Mataji? Mataji, can you just wait for the microphone?
you mentioned bija and kuta. Could you explain what kuta is?
Yeah. Kuta is a... Thank you for that question, because kuta is a subtle form of the seed. Is we plant the seed of desire, that we plant the seed of sinful activity by our action, and the kuta is that which forces us to develop that inclination or the propensity, or we say in educational terms, disposition. We have a particular type of a disposition or a particular type of inclination to perform, to act, by our association, by our understanding, by our previous experiences. So the kuta is the inclination to act. And that inclination becomes transformed by hearing, by chanting, and engaging in the process of devotional service. We transform that desire or that propensity, that disposition to become spiritual. We spiritualize it, transformation.
Thank you.
Can you maybe explain a little bit? What is so fearful about?
What is so fearful about death? Fear, the living entity is fearful because of attachment to the body. And attachment to the body, Prabhupada says, automatically puts the living entity into a fearful condition, because the body is temporary. The body is full of misery. In the purport in the second canto, Srila Prabhupada says that that death is a symptom of the material infection of the living being. Death is a symptom of material infection. So we become very, very fearful because of limitation, fearful because of ignorance, fearful because of illusion, fearful because of attachment. That we're attached ourselves to a temporary situation, and somehow or other the spirit soul knows that the spirit soul has this understanding, or the subtle energy in the body has this understanding that we're eternal, but we're limited by our temporary condition, we're limited by our temporary senses in the body, and that causes fear. Prabhu?
I was going to ask, just a question came into my mind that seems like sometimes I've seen several animals die. Cows at Gitanagri Farm and cats. Seems like they're able to take it, the whole death process, like a lot easier than we are as human beings. I've seen them, they just crawl off into the woods and they lay down underneath a bush, or they... Cows, they just, when they can't walk anymore, they just sit there and they just wait. And there's, I'm just wondering, is the fear of death present there in the animal species? I know they defend, so they don't want to die, but I'm saying it seems like they have a easier time surrendering it to it than we do.
Yeah, thank you very much for that observation, Prabhu. And we've seen sometimes cows, when they're leaving their body, they take a long time to leave their body. Some animals can leave their bodies, takes a week or a couple of weeks to leave their body. And they might be frothing and stuff, but they don't seem to be so distressed. One of the realizations I had reading this section in the Ishopanishad was that the animals, when they leave their body, because they're covered over, the human form of life is the only form of life that can inquire into the nature of the absolute truth. The human form is the only form that understands, that has a potential to understand the eternal nature of the soul. So if we don't have that framework, if we don't have that worldview, and the animals don't have that, they're not inquiring into the nature of the absolute truth, then it's all over for them. There's nothing else. They've kind of done their time in this particular body, and they haven't had to contemplate anything else. And Prabhupada says in the purport that at the time of death, when we're offering this prayer, Om Krato Smara Kritam Smara, when we're offering this prayer, to Krishna. He says, if the living entity hasn't performed yagya, hasn't performed meritorious activities, good activities, then a whole flash of sinful activities pervade the consciousness, and one relives all these sinful activities that we performed, and that will create a great nightmare for us, right? Especially, you know, for the materialist, just to relive all the sinful activities that were performed all at once. So therefore, it's very, very shocking. But for the animals, they're not offering the prayer. They didn't do any sinful activities. They just did what they do in the transmigration of their species. They ate what they ate, and they did what they did. But they don't have this flash of thoughts coming to their mind. And for the devotees, hopefully we have this flash of memories of Harinam Kirtan and wonderful feasts and association of devotees and Radha Madhava's lotus feet. Hopefully that's our video at the time of death and not pre-Krishna consciousness. Is that... Yeah, I think they wouldn't... It seems like they're not distressed because they don't have that developed consciousness. Jai Gantara Shrimad Bhagavatam ki Shri Prabhupada ki Gaur Vindam.